gratefully welcome all the assembled devotees to this wonderful festival. In the glorification of Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji and their holy names. Last night, many of us participated in a very wonderful glorification of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, which was to inaugurate the auspicious occasion of the year of his centennial, the anniversary of his 100th year since his appearance in this most fortunate and blessed world. Many things were discussed about Srila Prabhupada, but today I would like to discuss a very important aspect of Srila Prabhupada's life and mission, since today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada lived as a grihastha, completely faithful to the service of his spiritual master. Even with his family, he always upheld the highest principles of sadhana as well as spiritual Vaishnava conduct. But a certain time in his life, after he crossed the age of 50, he understood that the suffering condition of humanity was in such a crisis that in order to give his wholehearted endeavor for the service of his spiritual master, he would have to make all living beings within creation his family. So he left everything behind him, and very soon after, he took refuge in the most holy of all holy places, Sri Vrindavan Dham. For some time, he lived at the Bamsi Gopal Temple. At other times, he lived in Mathura, Keshavji Gaudiya Math. But his heart found its great fulfillment when the opportunity came for him to reside in the great temple of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada did not go to Vrindavan in the same way that most people do. Generally, people go to Vrindavan for their own personal salvation, to be away from all the troubles of this mortal world, of materialistic society. Others, when they're at the fag end of their lives, after they're practically useless due to old age, and they simply become a burden and a disturbance to their family members, they go to Vrindavan to peacefully remember Radha and Krishna and prepare themselves for death. Srila Prabhupada went there in an old age, when most people retire, but he had only one thing in his mind: to receive the mercy of the six Goswamis, to prepare himself to perform the mission of his spiritual master, of broadcasting the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of taking the teachings of the six Goswamis to the whole world. So what better place could there be than the ancient temple of Sri Radha Damodar? It was in this temple that Srila Jiva Goswami, with such intimate love and devotion, worshipped the deity of Radha Damodar. This temple was the headquarters for the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami had his temple of Radha Govindaji, Sanatan Goswami, Radha Madan Mohan, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Radha Raman, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami also did his worship in Radha Govindaji temple. Raghunath Das Goswami was often living at Radha Kund, worshipping Radha Giridhari. But they would all come to meet to discuss how to deliver all humanity from the evils of Kali Yuga, how to distribute pure Krishna prema to all the world at Sri Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. They would make their plans, discuss their various writings. They would have kirtan together there. They would take prasad together there. It was the headquarters for distributing Lord Chaitanya's message to the world. Later on, Srila Jiva Goswami, when he became the prominent acharya of the Vaishnavas after Sri Rupa and Sanatan disappeared from this world, for the first time in Gaudiya Vaishnav history, he established a library. One of its kind. It had the original works, all the works ever written by Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and all of the other great Vaishnava Acharyas. It became the high seat of learning in the entire planet to understand Krishna consciousness. And the greatest devotees of all time who followed in the next generation, such as Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, and many others, they were sent by their respective spiritual masters to study under Sri Jiva Goswami at the Radha Damodar temple, to become perfectly learned in the science of Krishna consciousness, and to become empowered to deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya to the fallen hearts of the denizens of this Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada, by the blessings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was given residence in the home of Jiva Goswami. In the compound of Radha Damodar temple are the most sacred places which are worshipped by all venerable Vaishnavas and always will be. The Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, the Samadhi of Jiva Goswami, the Samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami, the Samadhi of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It is understood that when a Vaishnav leaves this world, that place where their body is laid and where the Vaishnavas perform the proper ceremony of devotion, actually it is like an installation of the presence of that personality who always lives within the Samadhi. So Srila Prabhupada constantly throughout the day and throughout the night was absorbed in meditating on how to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. And he explained to us that he was constantly engrossed in prayers to Srila Jiva Goswami at his samadhi and Srila Rupa Goswami at his samadhi. Srila Prabhupada wrote the first three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the little rooms where Jiva Goswami would perform his wonderful pastimes. And after he completed Bhagavatam, first canto, when he received the blessings of Rupa and Jiva Goswamis, then he understood it was time to leave Vrindavan, in a material sense, but in a spiritual sense, to bring Vrindavan to the whole world. Just like if there is a great reservoir of water and nearby there is tremendous drought, the proper way of agriculture is to build canals which connect that reservoir of water to all the barren plots of land. This was the mission of Srila Prabhupada. He never left Radha Damodar Temple or Vrindavan, but rather, by his great sacrifice, he created canals to bring the flow of the nectar of Vrindavan's love to practically every town and village in the world. When Srila Prabhupada was sailing on the Jaladuta, and oftentimes in his diary when he was living in New York, he had written how much intensely he was feeling separation from Vrindavan Dham, and how acutely was his longing to return to Sri Radha Damodar's temple and worship the Lordship Sri Sri Radha Damodar. In fact, one time in New York, it was in Los Angeles, after Srila Prabhupada had become a world acharya with thousands and thousands of disciples, he went from a penniless person, he actually took the role of a beggar. Srila Prabhupada possessed the greatest, supremest wealth of Krishna prema. We read in the scriptures where even the greatest kings, who are proprietors of practically whole planets, they fall at the feet of the pure devotees, begging them for a small donation in the form of the blessings by which they can gain the real wealth of Krishna prema. Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay, and although the wealthiest man in all creation, he came to beg from even ordinary people to help him to have the opportunity to preach Lord Chaitanya's message to the whole world. He did not mind when he went to the steamship company and asked for passage. One noble and pious lady who was also a devotee of Krishna, she said, "Swamiji, you cannot go to America at your age." He was only days away from being 70 in years. "It is cold, it is unfriendly, it is sinful. If you go there, you will die." But Srila Prabhupada's heart, it burned with compassion for those who were forgetful of their original Krishna consciousness, who were wasting their valuable human form of life trying to enjoy this material existence. And the order of his spiritual master was prominent over all other concerns. He appealed to her, and when he was refused, he went to the extent of sitting on the steps in front of her office. And when her secretary said, "Swamiji, please come inside, sit down," he said, "I will not move until I get my ticket to America." Such a humble position he took, only for us. He was living in the most exalted place in the world, the abode of Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. But he became a beggar only to be merciful to us. Anyways, after some time, by the arrangement of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, thousands and thousands of people were worshipping him, willing to give their lives to help him in his mission. Beautiful temples, millions of books, wonderful farm communities, gurukuls to teach children the Vedic way of spiritual life. And his headquarters in the Western world was Los Angeles. And the devotees were thinking, we should worship our guru in the same way we would want to worship God, because he is his representative. So they made very nice quarters. They are still there in practically the same way when Srila Prabhupada lived. It has become a museum. So Srila Prabhupada told one of his devotees that, "You see this beautiful, opulent room that they have given me? Do you remember my room in Radha Damodar?" Now, for those of you who have gone to Radha Damodar temple, you see the simplicity of his room. But it is a palatial mansion compared to when Prabhupada stayed there. Devotees actually renovated it. When I first went there in 1971, I was living nearby. The rooms were basically the way they originally were when Srila Prabhupada lived. Devotees had not come to Vrindavan to do any work to make it nice. Now there's marble floor and nice walls. It was just a dirt floor. There was nothing but the dirt of the ground. And just very, very simple walls, not even looking like plaster. It was in disrepair, more or less. Not disrepair, but very simple. Poverty level of appearance. There was just one little light hanging from a wire coming from the ceiling. And usually it never worked. And there was one little wooden bed with no mattress, just some ropes tied to lay on those ropes. There was nothing else in the room. No running water. Srila Prabhupada would have to either go to a pump to pump the well, or he would go to the Jamuna to collect water. Very simple living. And he was alone. He had no servants. He had no disciples. He had no association as far as helping him. He went in that little kitchen. He would beg for some food somehow or other. He would get just simple. He would cook himself. He would wash the pots himself, would clean himself. a very hard and simple life. He was explaining that while sitting in his opulent, beautiful room given by his disciples in Los Angeles, "Do you remember my rooms in Radha Damodar Temple? I am simply longing to be back there, living in that condition. But for me to go back there would be sense gratification, because my spiritual master has ordered me to spread this movement all over the world. I am here as an austerity." So the intimate, loving connection between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Jiva Goswami is very much a prominent part of the essence of the mercy that we have received to bring us Krishna consciousness. So I'd like to briefly discuss the wonderful life of Srila Jiva Goswami. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, had a younger brother of the name Ballabha. The three of them, due to pressures by the king of Bengal, were forced to take the service of their chief ministers. But they were always praying that they could be delivered from that condition of serving materialistic people. And they would regularly write to Lord Chaitanya, who was then living in Jagannath Puri, begging him for instructions. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, always reciprocates with the sincere prayers of his devotees. So he rerouted his apparent journey to Vrindavan just so that he could go to the town where these three brothers were living, called Ramakeli. In fact, many of the great Vaishnava acharyas explain that he went this apparent trip to Vrindavan, which he never went, was just an excuse to go to give the association and instruction to Rupa Sanatana and Sri Ballabha. So there the brothers met him in the state of utmost humility and surrender. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them they should leave all other business and they should go to Vrindavan and they should live there to execute his mission. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they left practically immediately. But a wonderful incident took place, according to Narahari Das, who is the author of Bhakti Ratnakar. He explains that so many people were talking about the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam were always talking about Lord Chaitanya. So Jiva Goswami, who at that time was just a tiny little child, the son of Sri Ballabha, he decided he wanted to see this Lord Chaitanya and hear what he had to say. So somehow or other, in a very wonderful way, he secretly went, and from a hidden place, he was seeing and hearing the wonderful exchange between Lord Chaitanya and his father and uncles. And just by hearing and seeing the beauty of Lord Chaitanya and his words, his heart was completely inundated with love and surrender for him. After that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's thought was his constant meditation in life. When he was just a little child, he would make with his own hands deities of Krishna Balaram, and then he would collect flowers and make garlands, and he would decorate them with chandan, and he would make clothes for them and dress them and bathe them, and he would get whatever food he could and he would offer it to them, and then he would share it with his friends. And 24 hours a day he was with these deities. The ordinary people thought that he was just playing with toys like any child, but it was something different. Even when he would sleep at night, he would very, very intensely embrace his deities of Krishna Balaram, always offering obeisances, and even as a small child, weeping in ecstatic love upon receiving their mercy. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were very affectionate to little Jiva. He became such a scholar. As soon as he started studying, he would just excel in every type of study. From his early childhood, he became a great Sanskrit scholar. And people were just amazed at how learned he was, and how sincere, and how humble. When Rupa and Anupam, Lord Chaitanya gave Sri Ballabha the name Anupam, when they left for Vrindavan, little Jiva was simply longing for the day when he could leave everything to join his father and his uncles in Vrindavan. But shortly after that, on the bank of the Ganges, his father had left his body and went back to Godhead. And this incident was mortifying for little Jiva, in separation from this great devotee. When people would see him, they couldn't understand. He was absolutely detached from anything material. Although he was living in tremendous wealth, he cared nothing for nice clothing, nothing for nice food, nothing for anything of this world. In fact, he was constantly immersed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing it with whoever he met. And it became quite well known, if you wanted to discuss anything with Jiva Goswami outside of Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna's Leela, forget it. He'll have nothing to do with you. This was the magnitude of this child's Krishna consciousness. He couldn't bear the topic of anything but Krishna Katha. Although he was always most compassionate and tolerant to all living beings, still, he simply would never discuss anything but Krishna, or hear of anything but Krishna. So he was longing for the opportunity to somehow or other go to Vrindavan. And one night, he had a wonderful dream. In this dream, he actually saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Advaita, Srivas, Haridas, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, Murari Gupta, Paramananda Puri. He saw Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates, and they were having wonderful, wonderful sankirtan, dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy name. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki. And there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people all gathered around the Lord and his associates, loudly chanting Krishna's holy name. Suddenly, this wonderful vision disappeared. And Jiva Goswami woke up, and he was in so much separation from what he had just seen. But somehow or other, by the Lord's mercy, he fell back asleep. And in his vision, he saw Krishna and Balaram, both as beautiful as Kandarpa. In fact, so beautiful to defeat the mind of Kandarpa. Krishna had a beautiful bluish complexion, wearing bright yellow cloth with a peacock feather adorning his head, with his eyes like fully bloomed lotus petals. And Sri Balaram, his complexion pure white like a spring cloud, with blue garments holding the plow. Jiva Goswami, in his heart of hearts, began to worship Krishna and Balaram. And then, right before his spiritual eyes, Balaram transformed in the beautiful form of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Sri Krishna revealed himself as Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Chandra Ki. And Srila Jiva Goswami fell in an ocean of love, with tears flowing from his eyes, his limbs trembling, prostrate at the feet of the two brothers. Lord Nityananda Prabhu offered Jiva to the feet of Lord Gauranga. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to take shelter of the feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Jiva Goswami completely fell into the shelter of the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and Lord Nityananda gave him the blessing, "May you achieve the loving service of Lord Gauranga." After that dream, or that spiritual vision, Jiva Goswami was simply determined to meet with these great souls. Lord Chaitanya had already disappeared from the world. Sri Jiva Goswami, by some wonderful arrangement, had the opportunity to go to Navadvip Dham, the very place where Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world. And when he came, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was sitting and waiting for him. Srivas Thakur went and brought Jiva Goswami to his home where Lord Nityananda Prabhu was residing. When Jiva Goswami came to the lotus feet of Nityananda, he surrendered his life. And Lord Nityananda, out of his causeless mercy, placed his lotus feet on the head of Jiva Goswami and blessed him. Jiva Goswami offered his prayers that you are non-different than Lord Balaram himself, the original spiritual master. You are the most merciful. And it is only by your mercy that anyone can approach the loving service of Lord Chaitanya. It is only by your mercy in this age of Kali Yuga that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Nityananda Prabhu told him, I have come from Kardaha, my home, just to give you my mercy. And then Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami on a parikrama, a tour of all the 9 islands of Navadvipa. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu personally explained the wonderful places where Lord Chaitanya and his associates performed their pastimes. And the vision of this parikrama was revealed to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who explained it in essence in his most illustrious work, Sri Navadvipdham Mahatmya. And every year, just before the celebration of Gaur Purnima, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness performs the Navadvipdham Parikrama. And the way they go about this parikrama is, as far as possible, very, very specifically following in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami. Using this work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the itinerary for the parikrama. During this wonderful leela, Nityananda Prabhu revealed so many special darshans to Jiva Goswami. From time to time, Jiva Goswami, when he would see the places of Murari Gupta, to see the places of Gadadhar Pandit, Advaitacharya, he would just weep in ecstatic love, unable to control his loving emotions. At other times, Lord Chaitanya and his associates would actually appear before Jiva Goswami personally, directly, to perform wonderful, wonderful kirtan, just to inspire and enliven his heart. After receiving this mercy from Nityananda Prabhu, he was instructed that he should go to Vrindavan. He said that Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, Vrindavanath, he has personally given the land of Vrindavan to your family. So you should go and join your uncles there. But he instructed him on the way, he should prepare himself through further studies. Jiva Goswami went to Varanasi, where there was a very, very great pure devotee residing. He was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. His name was Madhusudan Vachaspati. Even Sanatan Goswami studied for many years under this great soul. He was the leading pundit of the world. And Jiva Goswami became his favorite pupil. After a short amount of time, Madhusudan Vidyavachaspati, who had so many students, he was broadcasting throughout all of Kashi that there is no greater scholar than Sri Jiva. He mastered every type of subject. He mastered every form of philosophy. And with the blessings of Sri Madhusudan Vidyavachaspati, He took the order of Nityananda in his heart and he went to Vrindavan. And when he arrived, there was a great celebration of love to welcome him. At the time, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Ugarbha Goswami, Narayan Bhatt Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit Goswami, and so on. They were all there. And Jiva Goswami, he was only about 20 years old when he came to Vrindavan. And they took him in as like their own child. Jiva Goswami prayed to Srila Sanatan Goswami to accept him as a disciple and give him initiation. But Sanatan Goswami was very humble. He told Jiva Goswami that you should accept initiation from Srila Rupa Goswami. So Jiva Goswami, as an exemplary Vaishnav, manifested the qualities we should all aspire for. He became the most humble menial servant of his Guru Maharaj. And Rupa Goswami, even though he was perhaps the greatest scholar in the world, he was perfectly self-controlled, detached from anything material. He was always absorbed in very, very high realizations of Krishna. He engaged Jiva Goswami in the very most simple services. He had him washing utensils. Sometimes in the temple, Radha Gopinath temple, new people are asked, please wash the utensils. Sometimes they're thinking, I cannot wait till I make advancement, till I become a senior devotee. Then I will not have to wash utensils. Then I can do the arti. Then I can dress and decorate Radha Gopinath. Then I can give classes. But a devotee who understands the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings understands that every particular service in Krishna consciousness is the supreme blessing of the Lord. And the more advancement we make, the more humble we're supposed to become. So Jiva Goswami was very grateful and ecstatic to wash the utensils. To go out and to get leaves, to pick leaves from the ground and somehow or other go through the laborious process of making them into pages of like what we would call paper so that Rupa Goswami could write his books on those leaves. He would also bathe and massage the feet and the legs of Rupa Goswami. Clean. And Rupa Goswami was very pleased with his humility. There's a story that just a few days after Jiva Goswami arrived in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was writing one of his books. He had a little metal piece of metal that he would just carve the Sanskrit letters into the palm leaves. And meanwhile, it was a very hot day. And Rupa Goswami was perspiring. So Jiva Goswami, with great, great attention, he was fanning Rupa Goswami with a fan, trying to keep him nice and cool, trying to evaporate whatever perspiration may be on him. At that time, one very, very senior and elder Vaishnav came into Rupa Goswami's kutir. His name was Sri Ballabha Bhatt. and Ballabha asked Rupa Goswami about his writings, and he told him that he had just written the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Ballabha Bhatt began to look at the contents of this most great book, and he was reading the Mangala Charana, which is the beginning where Rupa Goswami is invoking the auspicious mercy of the previous acharyas and the Supreme Lord. And Ballabha Bhatt began to point out that I think for this book to really be accepted by the world, you should let me edit it. He actually did it in a mood of service. Let me help edit this book. So Rupa Goswami was very happy. He said, oh yes, please, here's the book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Edit it and make it nice. Meanwhile, Jiva Goswami, he was thinking, what is this editing? So then Ballabha Bhatt went to Jamuna to take his bath. And Jiva Goswami was thinking, I should get some water from the Jamuna for my Gurudev. So he went to Jamuna, and there he asked Ballabha Bhatt, you are editing Rupa Goswami's book? He said, yes, I will make it very nice. He said, what mistakes have you found in it that it needs editing? And Ballabha Bhatt, very sweetly, he began to explain. And Jiva Goswami, very sweetly, completely defeated all of his assumptions. And Ballabha Bhatt was amazed. He went back to Rupa Goswami. He gave him his book back. Rupa Goswami said, have you finished editing it? But I want to ask you a question. Who is that young boy, Jiva? And Rupa Goswami said, he is my nephew. He said, he's wonderful. He's glorious. He's so learned and pure. I was thinking I could edit your book, but he explained all the things that I thought were wrong in such a way that he convinced me that everything you write is perfect. And then he left the book and he went on his way. Jiva Goswami returned. And Rupa Goswami, he said to Jiva, that Ballabha Bhatt, like a father, with great love, he offered to help me. And you defeated him. You criticized him. He said, this isn't the behavior of a Vaishnav. You do not understand the etiquette of Vaishnav. He is senior even to me. Ballabha Bhatt was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And in age, he was even senior to Lord Chaitanya. It's a beautiful story. At Prayag, how Ballabha Bhatt served Lord Chaitanya with such affection, and Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to him. Of course, there's other stories also. But it was all done in ecstatic love. So, Rupa Goswami honored this great soul, and his own disciple is arguing with him and defeating him. He said, Jiva, you do not understand the principles of real humility or Vaishnava etiquette. You have taken to the renounced order of life, but you do not understand what is renunciation. Real renunciation doesn't mean simply living with simple clothes. As Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes rich people, they take to the renounced order of life and become naked.
But Srila Prabhupada says, who cares about being naked? People take to the renounced order of life and fast and eat very frugally. But we are not concerned with that. Real renunciation is the quality of how we have renounced our false ego. How we learn to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnava, that is renunciation. For that matter, grihasthas can be more in the renounced order of life than brahmacharis or sannyasis who think they are very advanced and everyone should serve them. So Rupa Goswami wanted to use Jiva Goswami as an example to teach the world. He says, those who come to Vrindavan have to be without the feeling of prestige and who are able to be very tolerant and compassionate to others. Therefore, you are not fit to live in Vrindavan. You should go home. Leave this place. So Jiva Goswami, he didn't argue. Even though everything Jiva Goswami did was perfect, because in no way or sense did he have any pride at all. He was so humble that he wanted to serve his guru, and he couldn't tolerate the thought of anyone minimizing the work of his guru. So actually he did it in a mood of humility and service and love. And Rupa Goswami knew that. But Rupa Goswami wanted to show the world the glory of Jiva Goswami's humility. Even though he was right, when his guru told him he was wrong, he accepted from the core of his heart that he was wrong. That he was, although there was not a drop of pride in his heart, when his guru told him he was proud, he came to the conclusion that I am uselessly puffed up. There's no reason to go on living. He began to weep. His heart was broken. He felt so mortally ashamed. He was not allowed to be with Rupa Goswami. He left. He began to walk in the eastern direction along Jamuna. And then he came to a very place, holy place called Nandaghat. Nandaghat is where Krishna in his Leela performed the pastime of delivering the serpent that swallowed Nanda Maharaj. That was the place where Nanda Maharaj was arrested by Varuna when he bathed at a wrong time, and Krishna gave darshan to Varuna and brought Nanda back. So it was there that Jiva Goswami just lived in utter seclusion. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, it said he lived in a little hut made out of leaves. Others say that for some time he actually lived in a hole in the ground where crocodiles used to live. And there he was just weeping and crying all day and calling out the holy names of Krishna, feeling so ashamed that he had offended his spiritual master in the Vaishnava, feeling so unqualified. In fact, he was just waiting for death to come. And he was hardly eating anything. Sometimes people would give him some atta, some wheat flour, and he would add some Jamuna water to that, and he would eat it. Sometimes some roots or some herbs were given to him. And he was always immersed in the ecstasy of separation from the Vaishnavas, from the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So after some time, Srila Sanatana Goswami He used to travel all around Vrindavan. And he was the most popular person. Everyone loved Sanatan Goswami. He would just go from village to village. And he was so nice to everyone. He understood the Brijavasis are very special people. Raghunath Das Goswami prayed in his Vrajavilas Dava that his goal of life is to hear the gossip of the Brijavasis. So Sanatan Goswami, when he would come to a village, everyone would just, in the whole village, would come to the outskirts to greet him and offer him everything they had and bring them to their homes. And Sanatan Goswami would just take such personal concern for everyone. He would ask the farmers, how much wheat did you grow this year? And how much milk is your cows giving? And how is your wife? And how are your children? How is your health? And then he would discuss Krishna Katha. And everyone simply loved him. Why? Because he loved everyone. If you want to be loved, just try loving others, and then you'll be loved. People say, no one loves me. That's probably because you're not showing love for others. When you show love and Krishna consciousness to others, naturally people want to show love to you. That is Krishna conscious nature. So Sanatan Goswami was loved by all. So when he came to this little village near the Jamuna, all the people greeted him and they said, you should see this young, beautiful Swami that's living here. He's just always crying out, Rup Sanatan, Radhe Shyam, Nitai Gaur. He's always calling out the names of Lord, always weeping. He hardly eats anything. He's living in the most austere conditions. And Sanatan Goswami, when he heard this description, he understood, I have found Jiva Goswami. And he went there. And Jiva Goswami was so weak. He was in such a pathetic condition that he couldn't even stand up. So Sanatan Goswami lifted him up. And he told Rupa Goswami his condition. And Rupa Goswami brought him back to Vrindavan. And he personally nursed him back to health very carefully. And all the Goswamis and devotees of Vrindavan, when they saw Jiva Goswami getting stronger and stronger, coming back to his health and getting the mercy of Rupa Goswami again, they all became very, very enlivened. Joyful to see him so happy again. So this beautiful story was staged like a performance by these great souls just to show the world the qualities and the etiquette of real Vaishnavas. Humility, respect, reverence towards senior Vaishnavas. No desire ever to see anyone, any devotee, minimized in any way. This is the nature of Vaishnavas. So Srila Jiva Goswami lived as the life and soul of all the devotees. In fact, he was the chief editor of Rupa Goswami's books. Bhakti Ratnakar actually explains, after Sanatan Goswami found Jiva Goswami in Nandagat, he went to Rupa Goswami, and the way he approached him was this. What book are you working on? is your Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu complete? And he said, my editor, Jiva Goswami, he's gone. Sanatan Goswami said, I found him. Here he is. Please help him. So Jiva Goswami, he was very much a prominent part of our whole sampradaya. And after Rupa and Sanatan left, all of the Vaishnavas spontaneously out of love selected him to be their leader. And he was training the Vaishnavas. And it was by his arrangement that the first book distribution party took place in Gaudiya Vaishnava history. This month we are performing Srila Prabhupada's book distribution marathon for devotees throughout the day from early morning to late night are trying to give Srila Prabhupada's books to the people in general. Srila Prabhupada wrote his first books in Radha Damodar Temple, and it's very significant because it was from that place that Jiva Goswami gave the order for the first book distribution in our sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada ki! Srila Jiva Goswami ki! He loaded all the books on ox carts, and he sent Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Shamananda Goswami. He personally trained them in the Goswami's literatures, and he sent them to distribute the books, to have them copied and printed in Bengal and distribute them to all. When Srinivas Acharya was living in Jajigram, which was his native place, he became the spiritual master of the whole village. In fact, Srinivas Acharya had tens, hundreds and thousands of disciples. He was such a powerful preacher. And one of the most beautiful parts of our Vaishnava history is the sweet letters exchanged between Srinivas Acharya and Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. And the content of some of these letters is written. Jiva Goswami, one time, Srinivas Acharya was with some of his principal disciples, and he was thinking, he was saying, I have not received any letters from Jiva Goswami from Vrindavan in a long time. I wrote to him many letters, but I have not received any reply for a long time. And just at that very moment when he said that, one devotee came in and said, I have a letter from Sri Jiva Goswami for you. And as Srinivas Acharya began to read the letter, he began to weep. His limbs were trembling as he was crying in ecstatic love. And then he read the letter to his disciples, and they were all crying in ecstatic love. And then a few minutes later, somebody else came in and said, Guruji, Srinivas Acharya, I have come to deliver a letter to you by Srila Jiva Goswami. And he read that, and his heart filled with ecstasy. He began to cry in love of God. And he read it also to all of his followers, and they were all responding similarly, just to experience the sweetness of Jiva Goswami's mercy. And the content of the letters is written in Bhakti Ratnakar. Should I explain what it said? If you want to hear, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
First, he asked Srinivas Acharya. How is his health? And how is his preaching? And he asked about the welfare of his son, whose name was Vrindavan Das. And then he asked the welfare of his wife. And then he asked to give him news of the welfare of Vrindavan Das's two sisters. And most of the letter was like that. Of course, he was also asking how is the preaching and like that. But the devotees were crying in ecstasy because Jiva Goswami's love was just so simple. Even though he was the greatest philosopher that ever lived, his love was so simple and so sweet, and his concern for the Vaishnavas was so deep. Jiva Goswami is known amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the greatest philosopher that ever lived. He wrote nearly 500,000 of Sanskrit slokas. Over 25 books. Kaviraj Goswami explains that the writings of Jiva Goswami are actually uncountable. And the way he wrote is something wonderful. Every sloka he ever composed was perfect in meter, perfect in composition, perfect in every way. And he never had an editor, nor did he ever edit his own writings. Because when you're writing on palm leaves, you're actually carving the letters in. Today we have computers where we have different programs where if you make any mistake, you just press a button and automatically some mystical program goes and corrects your mistakes. At least that's the way it appears to a layman like me. And all these word processing, where if you make mistakes, you can just, and then something just goes between and crosses this out and replaces this and moves this and makes nice margins and everything else. And still it takes us forever. Jiva Goswami would just carve his beautiful, beautiful Sanskrit letters into the palm leaves. He never had to cross anything out. He never had to correct. This was the type of eloquence he had been given by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and his Gurudev, Rupan Sanatan. His principal works, Harinam Vyakarana, where he actually took from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita the explanation of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the greatest grammar teacher in all the world. He could defeat anyone in Navadvip, which was the high seat of scholars in the world. But after he went to Gaya Dham and was initiated by Srila Ishwarapuri, his spiritual master, he couldn't explain anything in any other way except to glorify Krishna and the chanting of his holy name. They couldn't understand. What kind of teacher is this? And Jiva Goswami actually explained exactly how Lord Chaitanya did this. He explains the whole system of Sanskrit grammar exclusively on the basis of the glorification of Krishna's holy name. One of the greatest, most creative strokes of genius in the form of a masterpiece that this world has ever seen. And then he wrote Gopal Champu, Sri Gopal Champu, which is a beautiful, beautiful description of wonderful elaboration of Krishna's Leela as they are told in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Sri Gopal Champu is one of the greatest treasures of Krishna Leela in all of the world. And then he wrote the Sat Sandarbhas, six Sandarbhas, which eloquently and concisely establish the Siddhanta of Lord Chaitanya, unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to Krishna as the supreme realization and the essence of all scriptures. It was through these Satsandarbhas that Srila Jiva Goswami established in the most authoritative way the basis of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. He also very much impressed the King Akbar, who actually in many ways accepted Jiva Goswami like a Shiksha Guru, although he was Muslim by faith. And through Jiva Goswami's influence, so many beautiful temples and wonderful, wonderful holy places in Vrindavan were excavated. And he lived in this way for many years in Vrindavan. And it was on this day that we are celebrating today that Srila Jiva Goswami manifested the final chapter of his earthly Leela and returned back to the spiritual world, where he resumed his original form of Vilas Manjari, one of the intimate associates of Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, always immersed in assisting Srimati Radharani in her loving service to Sri Gopinath. Jiva Goswami painstakingly wrote this Harinam Vyakarana to explain that the essence of everything is Krishna's name. He taught us through this literature how in every aspect of our life we should remember Krishna's name. Why? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the Yuga Dharma. What is the Yuga Dharma? Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapnam Sreya Kairava Chandrikava Taranam Vijavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivaradanam Pratipadam Punam Ratashvaranam Saravatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. In this age of Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the holy names, we can clean our hearts of all the dust and debris of material attachments and awaken our original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. These eight slokas of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the essence of our lives. They simply induce us to properly chant Krishna's names. Harinama 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 eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. There's no other way in this age of Kali, not by any amount of philosophy, austerity, or anything, can you achieve real liberation in Krishna consciousness. Only the pure chanting of Krishna's name. Lord Chaitanya taught service to the Vaishnavas and Harinam Kirtan are the two only real principles of religion in this age of Kali. So Jiva Goswami's great, deep, profound philosophy works, which answer all questions, defeat all arguments. What is the conclusion? to give us complete faith that only by chanting Krishna's holy names can we achieve the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, coming from Jiva Goswami's abode, spread to the whole world through his philosophical books the divine message, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So what better way is there to honor and celebrate Jiva Goswami's disappearance day than chanting Hare Krishna and being happy? So at this time, I would like you all to very happily chant Hare Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Radha Gopinath ji ki.
Jai.